Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. So happy to be here with you. Thank you for being here with us. We do have a really good show for you as part of our whole, you know, we're trying to be supportive and helpful in the whole praying for and working towards a Eucharistic revival here in the United States and around the world. So we've got a beautiful conversation about the beauty of the Mass, the second hour, and I hope you will join us for that. This hour, well, let's do a little bit of healing and addiction, from addiction and conversation along those lines. Maybe you're a family member, maybe that you have addiction issues in your own life. If you'd like to talk about those, we love doing these shows. They're always fruitful. They always feel like that's something good happened when we have these shows, and your calls are welcome. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest, as always for these shows, is our good friend Scott Wieman, who lives right here in the San Diego area and is the founder of Catholic in Recovery, which you can find at catholicinrecovery.com. Scott, thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
You look extremely bearded.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you got bearded since last I saw you.
Yeah, I was on a long road trip this summer. Went on a road trip, was on the road for about 70 days, put on about 10,000 miles on our SUV, brought the family with me for most of it, and had a chance to see much of the country, many Catholic and recovery groups in different cities around the U.S., and so I grew a beard along the way.
Oh, that's great, because many people, that's their dream, is to get in an SUV with three children under 5 years old and just see the country with a lot of screaming and crying in the car.
Yep, it was lovely.
All right, well, tell us first of all about Catholic in Recovery, because there are people who are listening saying, what is that all about? So give us the insight.
Yeah, so Catholic in Recovery, first I must introduce myself as a recovering addict and alcoholic myself, and experienced the darkness of addiction for many years, and had a chance to find new life through 12-step addiction recovery and the grace available in the Catholic Church. And so Catholic in Recovery's aim is really to blend the principles of 12-step addiction recovery with the traditions of the Catholic Church, and not so much of an organization as we are a community of men and women around the country, around the world, seeking freedom from a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. That includes alcoholism, drug addiction, gambling, pornography and lust addiction, food-related addictions, overeating or restricted eating, codependency, hoarding, all sorts of things. And I see those as different symptoms of the same spiritual malady. And we also serve families impacted by loved ones' addiction as well.
888-318-7884 is the number. Maybe you're in recovery yourself. Maybe you're hoping for recovery. Maybe, as Scott said, there's a family member you'd like to talk about. 888-318-7884. So if you say that at root it's the same spiritual malady, for one thing, that gives me a sense that even if you never have said the words "I'm an alcoholic" or "I'm a drug addict," you can be sympathetic, because we all suffer from spiritual maladies that drive us to compulsions or habits or behaviors that we wish we didn't have and that we need God to help us overcome.
Yeah, we develop idols in our life.
Yeah.
And for an alcoholic, that idol is alcohol, and, you know, doing for us what only God can do. Someone who is a compulsive overeater, theirs is food, specifically flour and sugar, which has activating effects to produce compulsions and obsessions and attachments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are nuanced differences between each addiction type and the recovery for each, but whether it's a process, a behavior that we go to, a substance that we turn to, something that is not of God that we resort to in order to cope, I think certainly needs some recovery from.
Mm-hmm. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. The 12 steps started with Alcoholics Anonymous. They're used in many places now. You say a kind of blending of this Catholic spirituality with the practical help of the 12 steps. So you're not trying to replace anybody's 12-step program.
No, that's we're not here to be a substitute for Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Sexaholics Anonymous. There is a 12-step group, multiple 12-step groups for many different, you name the condition or the compulsion, addiction, there's a 12-step group for it. Rather, Catholic in Recovery serves to be supplemental to in many ways, I see it, we see it as a bridge between addiction recovery and the Catholic Church. Finding many people who are in the church in need of addiction recovery, perhaps they were once referred to a 12-step recovery group. They may have found some anti-Catholic sentiment within that group, or perhaps some internal factors, denial, shame, fear, gets in the way of us finding recovery in that moment. But and so Catholic in Recovery provides a means perhaps for a second chance at the 12 steps, while also serving as a bridge back to the Catholic Church for those who have found the miracle of a recovery in a 12-step group, or perhaps even a non-Catholic Christian recovery fellowship, who feel called back to the church or to the first church for the first time. We see many people in our fellowship and in our community who are returning to the sacrament of confession for the first time in decades, or you know, fully being baptized and received into the Catholic Church.
888-318-7884, the number. If you have questions about the Catholic perspective on healing and recovery, on the role of God's love or the sacraments in the work of healing and recovery, you're very welcome to call. Any questions, Scott's happy to take your question. 888-318-7884. And I know you have, we've talked before about you've had a good reception from some bishops and some pastors to hosting these groups in parishes. Is that mm-hmm. is that still growing? You're still getting a good reception?
Yeah, increasingly so.
Okay.
Finding that, it takes some time. I think that a first response often by Catholic leaders, bishops, pastors, other church leaders can be of like one of hesitancy or skepticism, perhaps, which is fair. But have been making great inroads and getting pastoral support in various places. In fact, last week or 2 weeks ago, I was in the Diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend, on the invitation of Bishop Rhodes to speak to all the priests of the diocese.
Really?
Yeah, and so it was a really privileged opportunity. I think it was just the bishop and his priests sharing, really preparing for his trip to Rome for the synod. But within that time, they offered half hour, 45 minutes for me to share about addiction recovery principles, Catholic in recovery. We have two very active groups in that diocese and growing more. So, some good things are happening. The Bishop Rhodes saw fruit in what was happening in those local groups and invited me to speak to the pastors, which is really, really important, because without pastoral support, really the support of a pastor goes a really long way. And so certainly when that comes down from the bishop, it's helpful. It was a really blessed opportunity.
Again, the number 888-318-7884. And I will tell you what usually happens is the second half of this show, it's very hard to get on with Scott because everybody deciding right now whether to call. So an early call is more likely to get you on with Scott. But we'll do our very best to get you on with them whenever you call, 888-318-7884. We're talking about addiction, recovery, healing. We're talking about the role of the Catholic faith in all of that, and about Scott's ministry, born in recent years, born out of his own experience, Catholic in Recovery. You can find it at catholicinrecovery.com, where they have a workbook now.
Yes, published almost a year ago, the Catholic in Recovery workbook.
Yeah.
And that was long overdue, and has been, we find hundreds of people currently working through the Catholic in Recovery workbook, which integrates Catholic spirituality, sacraments, wisdom from saints into the working of the 12 steps. So 20 sections, and really provides a guide to be used with a sponsor, small workbook group, but integrates Catholic sacraments into the working of the 12 steps, and has been really helpful. Something that is tangible that can be, oftentimes we hear, how do I integrate the sacraments into my recovery? That's what I'm here for. And this provides a very tangible way.
Again, CatholicInRecovery.com. We'll talk with Scott about the online meetings that are available to both family of folks dealing with addiction and also those who are dealing with their own addiction and recovery. We'll talk about how you can start these groups, because they're growing all over the world. But if you have a particular question about a family situation, a personal situation, you are very welcome to call 888-318-7884. Right back with more with Scott Wieman on Catholic in Recovery right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment. Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Hi, this is Doug Keck on Mother Angelica Answering the Call. Father Joseph, Mary, and I mine decades of phone calls answered by Mother Angelica. Join us Sunday for a half hour of teaching, advice, laughter, and plenty of prayers from the one and only Mother Angelica.
Mother Angelica Answering the Call, Sunday afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Answers Live. Scott Wieman, our guest, the founder of Catholic in Recovery, an apostolate ministry of recovery in the Catholic Church that we at Catholic Answers have just been cheering on for years. And its growth is a very good sign for lots of healthy, good things in the Catholic Church. If you'd like to talk to Scott about addiction and recovery, 888-318-7884. I'm about to go to the phones, but before that, I got to read what Carrie told me to read. Get on over to shop.catholic.com and take advantage of our Shield Week sale. Just look for the Shield Week category, more than 500 items on sale. And remember, the promo code St. Michael, S-T Michael, will save you 30%. Don't miss out on what can only be called a heavenly savings opportunity. Yes, Carrie made me say that last line. That is some advertising writing. 888-318-7884 is the number. Anything you want to cover before we go to the phones, or shall we go to the phones?
Let's take calls.
Going to Deborah now in Pennsylvania, watching on Facebook. Deborah, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Having me. I was calling in to tell you that, real quick, because I can go on a rant, that I had an alcohol and sex addiction. And it was pretty bad. And I'm a Christian, and I was a Christian at the time that I was doing this. And so I got a lot of rhetoric for that. You know, maybe I did take advantage of the Lord and His grace. I'm guilty of that. But I've done a lot of things, sir, that I shouldn't have done. And anyway, I started getting these visions and dreams. And these dreams were so profound that I couldn't refute them. I knew that the Lord was trying to convey something to me to make a change.
Mm.
And I don't know if you want to hear all that, because it's kind of lengthy, so I'm not going to get into that. But well, I just know that...
Just going to ask you, what I would like to know is, did it work? Did it have an effect on you?
Oh, boy. I dreamt one night that I found myself above the earth in the clouds, and they were beautiful, and the sky was so blue, and it was so real, so surreal. I think it was out of the body, so I think it was a vision. Because visions are different than dreams, in my opinion. Visions, they are seared in your mind, and when you wake up, you remember them verbatim. But dreams, if you don't write them down right away, you'll lose them. So...
Okay.
I dreamt that I was
Go ahead. I was going to help you continue, but you're continuing. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's fine. No, that's fine. And so I saw this door, and it was a door that was half glass and half solid. So I said, and I walked over to it. And through the glass, I'm standing there, and I see Christ, and He's in the clouds, and He's not making any contact with me. He's not even looking at me. And when I see him, he was so beautiful, but his head was down, and he had this beautiful, dark, reddish, he looked Semitic, you know, and these beautiful cheeks and his beard and his white robe. Oh, he was so beautiful, majestic, but he wouldn't look at me. And when I saw him, I wanted to get to him. Well, I'm banging on the door to get in, he would not even look up at me. He completely ignored me. So I woke up, and I knew. I told a friend of mine who's a Christian, and she said, Deb, he's trying to tell you that if you don't change your ways, you know, I'm not exonerated. Anybody can lose their salvation if they continue in sin.
Did this lead to your recovery, Deborah?
Oh, yeah, slowly. I want to be honest with you. I want to be honest.
If you can just hang on a quick second, I want to ask Scott about that slowly. Is that common in recovery, not just fall off the horse and be suddenly recovered? Or?
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you for sharing, Deborah. It's beautiful. And, you know, the 12 steps move us toward a spiritual awakening. And much experience tells us that awakening happens very differently. This seems to be a blend of kind of a white light experience mixed with a progressive awakening.
Yeah,
As the recovery literature would say, of the educational variety. And so, yes, perhaps speaking of relapse, relapse is not part of everyone's story, but it is part of many a story. For those who seek recovery, seek a new way of life, are trying one day at a time to remain sober, free, abstinent, clean, balanced, and you know, may fall off of, maybe not be cooperating with God's grace on that day. This so much that Deborah shared. One, she noted kind of a dual addiction, alcoholism or drug addiction, and sexual addiction, alcoholism and sexual addiction. So this is I think it's really important to highlight and point out that oftentimes in the church we posit lust addiction, pornography, or sexual addiction as a men's issue. Not the case. Let's be reminded that addiction does not discriminate based on gender lines, class lines, socioeconomic lines, racial lines, vocational lines. There is much needed help and support for both men and women from all different types of addictions, including lust and pornography, sexual addiction.
Praise God for that.
Absolutely. We just actually started a Sunday night group for women, a women's only group for lust, pornography, and love addiction. So anyone who is similarly or still struggling with that, you're not alone and help is available. Now, back to the white light, falling off the horse, getting back on, that, you know, all points to an opportunity to cooperate with God's grace, whether it's, you know, revealed through a vision, revealed through inspiration, however we might find it. Acting upon that is our responsibility.
Oh, yes. Deborah, all that makes sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. But the thing about it is, and I'm trying to make excuses, but maybe I kind of am, growing up with no father because my dad died when I was 6 with a brain tumor.
Oh, I'm sorry, Deborah.
And then my sister got killed a year later. And I'm originally from Long Island, and the commuter train, the LI, Long Island commuter train, they were playing chicken. Her and this boy, they died. And my mother lost her life that day.
Deborah,
she was 13.
That is monumental suffering for a child. I'm very sorry that you ever went through that. It does not sound to me, and I'm not an expert like Scott is, so I'm going to ask him. That doesn't sound to me like making excuses, but is there a distinction to be made between making excuses and just acknowledging there could be a cause for this in me?
Absolutely. I think that there is value in recognizing what is at the root of our troubles, and there is also that sometimes that can distract us from being rooted in the solution. And so it's the Catholic both and. We must be, you know, here's an analogy that's often used. If your house is on fire and burning down, are you asking how it started or are you trying to put it out? First, we try to put out the fire. Uh-huh. And then we ask the questions of how did this get started? What could have been causes? How do we avoid this in the future? Now, that's all done with the awareness of, you know, that can all be done while we're putting the fire out. And the 12 steps provide a really practical human blend between, 100% surrender to God and recognizing that no human power can relieve us of our addictions.
Right.
And also taking responsibility for what we can do today. This requires certainly connection with others, individual relationships with others who have walked the path in front of us, and also a relationship with a community. A recovery fellowship and a church community, I think, are vital to that process because it requires, particularly with someone who is so overcome by patterns of addiction, you know, doing something new is really, really hard and is acting against all of our biological, right. emotional, cognitive, and spiritual tendencies.
Yeah.
And so we must give great credence to developing new patterns, taking on new spiritual tools and putting them in place, but we certainly can't do that alone.
Deborah, I'm so grateful for your call, and this is one of the things that I always like when you're on, and this makes me think we need this in the heart of the church, is that one of the things we Christians, Catholics maybe in particular, are not always good at is telling other people what the Lord has done for us.
Mm.
And it's like when I hear Deborah talk, I think, the Lord did that for me. Not the exact same thing, but in a certain way, yeah, exactly the mm-hmm. exact same thing. He did for me just what he did for her.
Yeah. And you know, when she was sharing that story, what I was thinking to myself is, if I look through that glass mirror, is Jesus looking back up to me? Or is there something in my life that I need to do to change that?
And yeah.
Yeah, so I totally agree. Storytelling, sharing testimony, sharing the gospel, the good news, is really an important part of discipleship, evangelization.
Yeah, exactly. Deborah, thank you for the call. If you'd like, I'd like to send you a book we have called Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus from our friend Father Sebastian Walsh. All you have to do is give us an address and we will mail it to you. You don't have to if you don't want to, but if you'd like to, we will send it to you. Thank you, Deborah, for that call. I'm going to go now to Mary in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on AM 1260, The Rock. Mary, we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your comment or question for Scott.
Hi, can you hear me?
Very well, yes.
I just wanted to say I think this is so fantastic, and I'm really excited. I was going to put on a book on tape, and I happened to turn the station on, and was having you guys on right now. And I just wanted to say that I've been sober for 4 years. I'm in Cleveland. Cleveland has a really well-established AA community, being so close to Akron, which is where AA was founded. And one thing that I find a lot in meetings is it's so heartbreaking because there's so many people that have been so injured by the Catholic Church. And I've never really, like, since I was a child, I've had such a great faith. But when I'm at meetings, sometimes I have a disconnect between my Catholic faith and my higher power. Like, I know it's the same God, but in AA, it's like I'm disconnected a little from my faith because there's a lot of hostility towards it. So I'm just wanted to say I'm really excited about hearing about this workbook, and I'm going to get it and look into it and hopefully gain some insights that I can share with others. So thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I would suggest, try a Catholic in Recovery virtual meeting sometime. We have 50 weekly virtual meetings that gather every day of the week, various types of meetings. So if you'd like to experience, certainly continue to participate in your 12-step recovery groups as you are, but if you're interested in just, exploring or participating in a recovery meeting where you are allowed to be authentically Catholic, check out catholicinrecovery.com, and a host of virtual meetings will be available to you.
You can hear we have to take a break, Mary. If you'd like a copy of Secrets from Heaven, I'd like to give you a copy of that book as well. Just hang on the line and we'll send it to you. Scott Wieman is our guest, the founder of Catholic in Recovery, and your resource for the next half hour, 888-318-7884. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Is relativism dead? It sure seems dead. Each day, new moral demands are made and they are presented to us as absolutes. Everything from transgender ideology to physician-assisted suicide is presented as a moral good that all right-thinking people must accept. But Catholic Answer's own Carlo Broussard says look deeper, and you will see today's moralism is just relativism dressed up in new clothes. Carlo's eye-opening book, The New Relativism, shines a light on how the sacred moral teachings of this age cover up a deep denial of moral truth. Order your copy of The New Relativism today at shop.catholic.com and be prepared to defend the truth against aggressive relativism. The New Relativism at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Johnette Williams. We bring you the truth of the Catholic faith on Women of Grace tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Scott Wieman is here, and usually at this point in the show, I say to Scott, why don't you have a podcast, Scott? This is so good. We need more of this. So that could be possibly in the works.
Maybe.
All right. That's as much as we're saying now, I guess. Maybe. Thank you, Mary, for the call. Anybody's welcome to call if you'd like to talk about being in recovery, Catholic in recovery.
Yeah, I just want to make a note about the opportunity that radio provides on this topic, because, you know, most of your listeners or many listeners probably like listening by themselves in a place where they can hear a message. I have the opportunity oftentimes to like go in front of churches after Mass, give pulpit announcements afterwards, tell about Catholic in Recovery. You know, we have resources available. Come see me afterwards if you want to. I've learned that no one really wants to like be seen talking to the addiction guy after Mass, which is a reflection on a need for cultural change within our church.
Sure.
But this medium provides an opportunity for those who are listening, perhaps, you know, in a place of like, I can't be going on with my life this way, right? You know, like why I continue to go fall down the same trap every single day or, you know, on a very regular basis. How is there ever any hope for me? And I just want to note that if you are that person listening today or you are struggling with a loved one's, a family member's addiction, a spouse, a child's, a parent's, a sibling's, you may be in a place of hopelessness. And know that you're not alone and that God can work miracles for you and for your loved ones. Hang on. Hope is something that we don't give a lot of credence to oftentimes because it's not so tangible. We can't measure it so well. But hope is a really important part of all of this. Any kind of healing, growth, faith requires some hope. I heard a gentleman today who spent this morning, I'd take a meeting, a Catholic in Recovery meeting to a place called Rise Up Industries, just down the road from the studio here.
Oh, yeah.
Men who were formerly incarcerated, many serving life sentences. Heard a guy with 21, who spent 21 years in prison, just got out about 9 months ago. Talk about exercising the hope muscle. And I think that that's a really important exercise for us to be considering during our day. What can I do to exercise a hope muscle that you know, looks faithfully and with hope towards my life? Because too oftentimes we who are impacted by addiction are living in darkness. And so just allow that hope to flicker as it can.
Well, praise God. Thank you, Scott. Thank you very, very much. CatholicInRecovery.com is where you can go if you would like more information, if you think, because you can do that in private as well. Kevin's in Akron, Ohio, listening on Living Bread Radio. Kevin, welcome. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Scott Wieman.
Thank you, Si.
Sure.
Thank you, Si. And Scott, continued success with your program and your ministry.
Thank you.
So mine's a little more mundane question. Somebody recently told me that Alcoholics Anonymous only has a success rate in the 20% range. And my first question is that an accurate statement? And then secondly, does Catholics in Recovery have any statistics on your success rate?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, to my understanding, there Alcoholics Anonymous has not maintained or kept any kind of statistics around success rates. These things are very difficult to measure, largely because of the anonymous nature of meetings like that. And additionally, there are also, you know, various, especially over the last, I would say, 30 years or so, you know, you have people who are there because they are court appointed or, you know, maybe not there on their own free will entirely. So hard to really get an understanding of what does success look like. I think that the greatest success can be seen anecdotally in the change that takes place among individuals who turn their life over to God through 12-step recovery groups. And yeah, so in, similarly, you know, a Catholic in recovery, because of the anonymity and the importance really given to confidentiality, privacy, and keeping membership anonymous, makes it very difficult to keep any kind of data. We do our best, and, you know, we do survey people to ask for experience and such. A lot of that, though, is really requires self-reporting, and so, you know, we have a lot of anecdotal and qualitative data, but less so quantitative data.
Okay, well, appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kevin.
I wonder, though, how do we measure success in the church?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. How successful is Matt? How many times do you have to go to Mass and confession before you're a saint? Do you walk out the first time?
Yeah.
Saint? I don't know.
Yeah, it's such a, I think that success here is such a, and I know what it means. Success means you're either sober or you're not sober. But
right.
There is so much of, how do you measure spiritual success in many ways?
Right. It's a very fair question, Kevin, and we're glad you called. Every line full, so I have that urgency in my voice a little bit. Just got to keep moving. Rick's in South Dakota listening on 90.1 FM. Rick, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Hi there. My name is Rick Wakeman, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Rick.
I've been sober since March 30th, 1975. And if I can live another year and 4 or 5 months, I'll have a 50-year chip. My one goal in life. Anyway, I go to daily Mass. I have the precious blood in the Eucharist every day. And in addition to that, I am arthritic from hell. And I have a lot of prescription, powerful pain relievers.
Mm-hmm.
And I've opened with my confessor, my sponsor, my wife, and selected members in my AA club. I want you to give me an idea of whether I should, in a meeting, offer the fact that I am sober and I'm not using alcohol, but I am using pain relievers in a big way, pretty much.
Okay.
But I want to know what you think about that.
All right, Scott?
If I should mention that my conscience is clear, but I am concerned about other people, and if I'm asking to cause more trouble for people instead of helping.
Okay, Rick, thank you.
First of all, Rick, thank you for calling. Praise God for such a lengthy sobriety and God's grace being abundant throughout that. I have no doubt that you have met the Lord and know the Lord in a very intimate way. It also sounds like you have a great, what I'll call board of spiritual directors, a personal board of spiritual directors around you, a sponsor, confessor, people who are, you know, part of your recovery community who can speak truth to you, maybe when you might be a little confused. And, you know, listen to this, even at 49 years sober, still seeking counsel from people and resorting to a sponsor and people,
yes.
You know, that's a great deal of humility. And I think even asking the question, you know, is my prescription drug use does that disqualify me from sobriety is kind of the essence of what I'm hearing in the question. I'm not going to make that call here on the radio. I believe that, you know, certainly I know that people who are prescribed medication and given a prescription to take a certain amount, certain doses at certain times, and do so per the recommendation of their doctor will be okay. However, that can be a great temptation to people. Opioids are very powerful and can ignite or activate that pleasure center. That is same pleasure center that's hit when alcohol reaches the body and things like that. So we want to be very careful. We want to be certainly honest with our doctors. You know, whether you have alcoholism or drug addiction or food-related addiction, or really, I would be very honest about your addiction, your mental health, which includes your addiction challenges and recovery with your doctor, so that he can be understanding of. Or maybe consider other options that wouldn't require some kind of opioid use. But yeah, if your conscience is fine, I think that is the most important. If the people with whom you're consulting with that you have respect for, I mean, I would certainly seek their counsel before mine.
Rick, I feel very grateful for your call, and what a beautiful story. And if you'd like a copy, I don't know why I'm giving away Secrets from Heaven today, but I started and now I can't stop myself. So I'm going to give it to you. If you'd like it, just hang on the phone, give Edgar your address, and we'll send you a copy of Secrets from Heaven.
Mm-hmm. He mentions 49 years of sobriety, next year 50 years. I got to give a shout out to a woman today in our community, Marie B., who celebrates 50 years of continuous sobriety today. Today is her sobriety birthday or
congratulations,
anniversary.
Congratulations, Marie.
So just wanted to shout that out. And 50 years of uninterrupted reality.
Isn't that what a great way to say it? Rick, again, thank you very much. If I'm going quick, it's just because I'd like to get everybody on. David is in Lubbock, Texas, listening on 101.3 FM. David, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
I have a question about marijuana. I have a grandson that is using marijuana pretty heavy. Is it a step-up drug? By that I mean, will he eventually want a stronger illicit drug to get the same feeling that he did with marijuana?
That's a good question, David. It sounds like a very concerning question. So I would just say that marijuana, we often think of it as non-addictive. It's legal in a lot of states now. I used to smoke non-addictive marijuana multiple times a day, and I couldn't stop.
That's an extraordinary thing. Not addictive, but you couldn't stop.
Yeah. Now, similarly, though, some people can use marijuana, like some people can use alcohol in a social environment. I'm not condoning that use at all. I'm not condoning any kind of recreational or social behavior, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to lead to other harder drugs or more illicit drugs. I certainly understand how fear can take us down the road of kind of projecting that, and we certainly want to be aware of consequences that can come, while also maybe giving a break. I would really have an open conversation about it with anyone that you're concerned with, and also similarly make sure that the family is on the same page. Addiction oftentimes certainly doesn't happen in a vacuum, and I'm not saying that social or recreational marijuana use is this is an addictive or an addiction situation, but just being mindful that addiction can really permeate through the entire family, oftentimes creates division. Different people have different plans. How involved should we should be very involved. We should be given some space. Really important that we stay unified as a family while any of this develops.
And I'm going to leave it there, David. Your question is one that many, many people have these days, so I thank you for the call. And if you'd like a copy of Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus, I'll send that to you as well. I'm like Oprah today, just giving stuff away. We'll take a quick break, be right back with more conversation with Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
By providing quality programming faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church, EWTN Television is TV that viewers can trust. Whether it's films, documentaries, news coverage, lively discussion shows, or kids' programs, we highlight the truth that is the eternal Word. For a complete schedule of EWTN Television programs, visit EWTN.com and click TV. EWTN is the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Scott Wieman is our guest. Scott is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. You can get the Catholic in Recovery workbook. You can find out all about what they do at CatholicInRecovery.com. Maybe you want to start a group where you are. Maybe you want to find out where there's a group near you. Or maybe you want to join one of the internet meetings that they have. Whatever is the case, I hope that you will go to CatholicInRecovery.com. We always like it when Scott's here because we get to have profound conversations about the faith with people that we don't otherwise get to have. And I'm just going to keep moving, Scott, if you don't mind, because there's others who want to talk with you. Alicia is in Texas listening on 1430 AM. Alicia, we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Hello, Scott. Thank you for taking my call. I have a friend who she's in denial. She's a victim of all the circumstances that she has gotten herself in. She considers herself a devout Catholic, so she is always talking or trying to convert others to Christ. But when she drinks, and it doesn't all happen all the time, but sometimes when she drinks, it's like she lets the devil in. And she starts cursing and telling everybody how they need to follow God. And she's, you know, it is a hypocritical type situation. And most people are very turned off. And it's just a very difficult situation. And then afterwards, her feeling is, well, you should have protected me. You know, again, she's the victim. She's always the victim of any and every situation. And she doesn't admit that she has a problem. And this, you know, her marriage ended in part because of her drinking.
Are you looking for Scott to give you some ideas on how to be helpful to her?
How to help her.
I gotcha.
Yes,
okay.
How to help her, because I don't know what to do. And her husband left her because of it.
Okay. Scott?
Yeah, I'm conflicted on whether to dive into problem solving or to have a philosophical discussion around what we can do to help our family members and friends, loved ones who struggle with addiction. Alicia, what have you tried? I mean, have you had a conversation with your friend?
I have, and I offered to, you know, she's, to talk to, I said, well, let's talk to the priest, you know, but I want to be there to give the full description of what I'm seeing, because I think she goes to confession like 5 times a week, but I kind of feel like she forgets, you know, she's the victim, so she doesn't give the same account that maybe the rest of us see when we're with her. And she doesn't want to do that. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I hear you. So I'm thinking back a few weeks ago, our scripture reading, Sunday gospel reading, was Jesus instructing people how to offer fraternal correction. How do we provide support when someone is misbehaving? What are we called to do? He gives 4 steps. He says, first, speak to them directly, individually. If that doesn't have an impact, then bring along another person and speak with them. Maybe that's more than one person. Maybe it's a group of people, a small group of people that are coming in with love and concern, not to build a case, but really just for the good of the other. If that doesn't work, then tell the church. Now, that's can be interpreted a variety of ways, but largely what that means is kind of bring it to, you know, you said bring it to your priest. That's not a bad representation of the church, but, you know, there's, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, and this is a situation where, you know, I would suggest stepping away from the propensity to build a case. I fall into this oftentimes. You know, you want justice. You have a human, and I think a God-given desire for justice to be served here in some ways. And maybe a blend of justice and mercy is certainly necessary. So, you know, the third thing Jesus says is bring the church, is take them to the church. And then the fourth thing is treat them as you would a Gentile, I think. Basically, which means create some healthy boundaries in the relationship. Treat them with love and respect and dignity. Recognize their human dignity. But perhaps then you might need to put some of your own personal boundaries and, you know, recognize that the one person that you can change is yourself, needing God's grace to do that. How does that land, Alicia?
Certainly sounds like what I need to do.
Okay.
Because I did put some boundaries and said, you know, we need to just kind of, I need a little time to digest this, and you need to, we need to have some boundaries, because I think she was just, again, I want to help, but I also have to, she needs to realize that it's, you know, I think she needs to kind of see it for herself. And so now she's been calling me, like I had to block her, which I've never done before, but she calls me all the time, all hours of the night, telling me she loves me and I need to forgive her. And it's like, don't do this. You know, you need to give yourself time. You need to heal.
Scott, I'll suggest spending time with the Serenity Prayer yourself, all of us. Individuals impacted by addiction, loved ones, family members, friends of addicts, people that have addiction in their lives, the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There's a longer Christian version that you can find as well, but simply that, repeated on a regular basis, I think will help to provide insight in how you might be helpful and recognize your limits in this situation.
Alicia, thank you. God bless you. Appreciate that. I'm going quick again because I want to try to get everybody on that I can with Scott Wieman. So over to Dallas, Texas we go. Listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network is Maria in Dallas, Texas. Maria, we're grateful for the call. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Hi. Yes. So we're dealing with my daughter who has an addiction. But before that started, she pretty much disconnected from the church. And I think that didn't help. So how do we help her heal when she's opposed to religion, to the faith, even though she's been raised Catholic, especially when the program itself includes that spiritual aspect? So we go to the group for families, and we learn how important it is for the healing to be complete, to include the spiritual side. So when she's reluctant to this area, how do we help her with her healing?
Thank you, Maria, for calling and sharing, and you're not alone, and there are probably a bunch of callers out there who are in a similar place. You know, the principles that we might employ to help our loved ones, particularly our kids, to get back to the faith, oftentimes very similar to what's necessary, kind of an attitude and a behavior that's necessary to help our loved ones find sobriety. And so similarly, the principles are the same. Living a life of faith that is attractive and joyful yourself will certainly help with that. I also want to note, there's about, we've got 8 minutes left in this hour or so. In 8 minutes, we have a Catholic in Recovery family and friends virtual meeting that will begin. And actually, today we're going to be doing a webinar where you'll hear from people who have found peace amidst family addiction. So I don't want to divert any Catholic Answers Live listeners, but if there is an immediate need and a dire immediate need, we have help for you in about starting in about 7 minutes. Go to CatholicInRecovery.com. However, still here, I think that participating in a recovery fellowship yourself, where you can learn the important principles of really just like the last caller, limits of what can I change, what can I not change. It sounds like you're doing the right thing.
Man, I want to really second that, and I hope you will do it, Maria, because I do think there's a kind of resistance that we have sometimes. In my own experience, in my own life, I have had the experience of, do I need this training, this help, and it's so helpful to learn from what a million other people have gone through, mm-hmm. and learn that you can set these boundaries, and maybe not grow comfortable with, but at least acknowledge there's limits to what you can do.
Mm-hmm. My story is that my loved ones, my parents, my friends, my siblings and others desperately wanted something different for me when I was active in my addiction. And right. We're probably saying a lot of the same things that the people who spoke to me when I found recovery were saying to me. But first, I wasn't in a place of hearing it. I was defensive. I was in denial. All of that was a threat to what was my idol at the time. It was the thing that was most important to me, my alcohol and drug use. And so it wasn't until in a 12-step recovery meeting where a man darted across the room, looked me in the eye, and said, "I know exactly how you feel. You don't ever have to drink again." This was a moment of grace that was met by someone who was willing to share their experience, strength, and hope, recognize their dark past as a great asset to help me in that moment. That seemed to cut through my denial and shame and open the door for hope.
Amen. Marie, so if someone is listening right now, say a parent's listening and saying, mm-hmm. "I have not known what to do with my child's addiction," or a spouse is listening, "I haven't known what to do." They just go to Catholic in Recovery in 5 minutes from
now. You can go now.
And a meeting starts.
Yep, go now.
And you
can be
anonymous there, or you got to?
You can be anonymous under events. You'll see an events tab. You can find an upcoming webinar, register for that. You'll be immediately sent an email with the sign-in link. Or go to our meetings tab, select virtual meetings, and find the family and friends meeting that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific time. And you can join through that link.
Maria, thank you very, very much for the call. I hope that was helpful to you. I know that you helped many people by asking that question. Scott Wieman has been our guest. Scott, the book, the Seven Sacraments, no, the Sacraments and the 12 Steps.
The 12 Steps and the Sacraments.
All right, I was so close to getting it. The 12 Steps and the Sacraments. CatholicInRecovery.com is where you can learn all about what Scott and others are doing to help people in recovery. I hope you will check it out. And also a possible future podcaster, Scott Wieman, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you, Si.
Man, I love it when you come here. I really love these shows. God is so good and so full of healing and the power of healing. CatholicInRecovery.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about the beauty of the Mass with Father Michael Rainier. I never know how to pronounce it. Right back.